Ever wonder why 95% of leads do not convert? Why cold call rates are down and prospects don't open our emails? Why our responses of robocalls and implanting pixels to track user interaction, mostly without permission, is backfiring spectacularly? Well, that's what we intend to find out here in the Buyerside Chat podcast. There are scores of podcasts about selling, but most miss the shift that has come upon the buying-selling process. The initiative has since moved from the supply to the demand side. The Buyerside Chat, your podcast of record for B2B buying, talks to actual buyers, persons, not personas, in the quest to understand the real buyer's journey, their trials and tribulations, challenges and outcomes they're striving for. Welcome to the Buyerside Chat. Thank you for your time and for joining us in this session. I have a favor to ask. While you continue to listen to the podcast, please leave a comment or rating at iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts from. I personally look at each comment and will give you a shout out to each of you in our following episodes. It means a lot to hear from you. Today, we have with us Vijayanand Chaudhary, Global Head Procurement at Tata Technologies and member of the Board of Directors, Institute for Supply Management.
You know, earlier, all the purchasing persons were accountant. And the accountant would have had a different career motive of growing into some other accounting area or department or whatever. But when it comes to supply chain nowadays, he wants to grow and be a chief supply chain officer and get a seat at the table, become more strategic, and even try to be a CEO one day. In such a scenario, obviously, there is a community. Like there could be a community of CFOs, a community of practitioners, community of salespeople who have different sales meets, right? Similarly, the community of procurement has also evolved. You know, today when I speak to you, we run ISM Bangalore chapter, we run a blockchain supply chain practice chapter, we run a procurement practice chapter. And this is not only regional, it has gone to the level of collaborating across the geographies, across nations.
Vijayanand is the Global Head Procurement Tata Technologies. TTL is a Tata Motors company providing engineering, R&D and consulting services to automotive and aerospace industries. He's a senior supply chain executive with 20 years of experience in brand consulting, category management, procurement outsourcing and implementation of S2P solutions. Vijayanand has worked with varied industries like IT and ITES, retail and manufacturing, and has been adding value by improving operational efficiencies, cost optimization, and consulting in the space of procurement, SCM, and branding. In his leadership roles in companies like Tata Technologies now, and in Wipro, EXL, and IBM in the past, he has displayed key strengths in digitalizing procurement and forming strong sourcing organizations. He has a passion to automate and implement complex technologies like AI, NLP and blockchain in the domain of procurement and supply chain processes, both upstream and downstream integrations. He prefers bringing an outside-in perspective as a collaborative influence for innovations and improvements in operational efficiencies. Now, on to this interesting and insightful episode with Vijayanand Chaudhary. From the vantage point over the multiple companies and multiple industries that you have seen over the last 20 years, how do you think the buyer has evolved?
Right. So, I would say answer this question in two parts. That, you know, one is that, you know, how this function has evolved. And as against this function, how people have evolved around the function. So now, when I talk about this function was earlier looked at as if, you know, we need certain things and there's a community which is inside the office who's just going to make the purchase order and send out the purchase order. And when we receive the products or service, just clear the invoice and make the payment. So it was more of a operations job and a perception. Then slowly it evolved where the operations team started asking questions that what is the pricing? And then came the story of saying, let's have at least three comparative quotes so that we know we are buying at the right price. And I think this process of buying at the right price continued for a long time. And I would say this continued till the time of near about 2008-09 kind of a story. And come on to the 2010s is when the boom happened, where, you know, the function had the responsibility of making profits or making an impact to the bottom line. That's when they moved into the strategic part of really understanding, you know, what financial impacts that this team can bring in. And if they have to do that, they have to really understand the supply chain, right? And the whole supply chain operations. Now, apart from this, the fulfillment of these products and services on time, and so that the output of the business is also met on time, became a very important point and a key point. Since the responsibility of choosing the supplier was with this particular team, obviously this particular team had a tacit responsibility of delivery as well of right. those products into the company. So this is when the whole gamut of supply chain walked into a procurement office. Now, obviously, if someone has to go and pursue a successful profession or successful career in this particular field, then he has to be educated in the area of supply chain, understand the demand mechanics, understand the pricing mechanics, understand the financials. So basically, he became an integral part of the strategy of the organization, as good as operations person, or in some businesses, the supply chain holds a better position than the operations, because if it is a matter of small value adds, and if the input is having small value adds and the output is of a bigger value, in such kind of industries, obviously, the supply chain holds a bigger position, right? Amongst all of this, if I have to speak about one key feature that a procurement person has evolved through, is that he's become a category specialist. Like, for example, you know, if someone is working in a hardware manufacturing unit, for him to understand the components and what materials go into the components and how these components get evolved is very much important. Now, if everyone thinks that, no, purchasing is all about cutting out a purchase order and he should be just a normal person with some mathematical knowledge, that does not help.
So basically what you're saying is that from the original accounting role, correct, it moved to a negotiation role where you are negotiating the price, right, to a subject matter or a material expert, whatever the expertise is. Which yes. goes beyond the expertise of the line user in the organization.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then when we talk about that point of subject matter expert is considered in our language, in our parlance, is called as category management.
Right.
Like if a person is procuring, he would have different categories of procurement. It could be like the basic top level would be direct materials and indirect materials. Now, in direct materials, if a company is into using metals, then it would say, you know, buying of metals or buying of plant equipment or buying of plant and machinery or MRO and all of those kind of things. And if you talk about indirect material, it would be like IT procurement. It would be like facilities and administration procurement. It could be like marketing procurement. Like if you go to a consumer durables company, or you go to a MCG organization, there right. you will find a lot of marketing material being bought. So obviously, when a procurement professional is involved in buying marketing, then he has to understand ATL, BTL, and right. what goes into a marketing. You know, now things have gone to the extent that, you know, the purchasing guy would ask a vendor, what would be the ROI if I go ahead and collaborate with you?
Right.
That's the kind of talk that we do, rather than talking, okay, can you put 10 posters at the rupees of 10? You know, those days are gone. And I would say in the recent past, maybe like 2-3 years. You know, it was also being discussed that can the procurement profession be so strategic that it is very much important to the industry to, and can the procurement person have a seat at the table, which is at the board?
Yeah.
And that is where the levels have gone up. And, you know, if someone is doing a new product development or a new service kit or if the company is trying to do something new, is procurement and supply chain carrying a bigger role? Yes, because, you know, when I'm working in a component industry or when I'm working in an automotive industry, I know what is the latest that is happening in the market because I speak to the external world. And if I bring those knowledge onto the new product development, imagine the kind of strategies and how these synergies would work, right? But come the times of 2020, which is a black swan, or the COVID-19,
yeah,
everyone realized that, yes, supply chain carries a much bigger role because they are the people who expedited a lot of things for the organization and helped the organizations to survive in their businesses.
Right.
Right. So having said this, if you see simple examples like, you know, whether it is a Tim Cook of Apple, you know, he was a supply chain person and then yes, he moved on to be a CEO. And if you look at Mary Barra, the MD and CEO of General Motors, even she started her career in procurement. So like this, there would be many examples. And that is how the importance of this organization has moved forward.
There is this whole talk in the sales side that I need to now go and educate my customer. I need to go and tell him he has a pain. You know, these are typical lines that are being discussed. So you need to educate your customer. You need to go and help him identify the pain. How does that sit with what you are just saying?
I would say this was a scenario maybe 15 years back, right? Because please understand, in my whole journey where I told you that, you know, from an accounting to negotiation to category to strategic, right? So in this whole journey, you know, until there was negotiation, maybe you can say that the seller could have approached with a aptitude or a approach where he says that, okay, let me educate. But when he comes to a category level, I would say the category experts, maybe he's having more information than the seller, right? So I think it's all evolved now.
Correct. I totally agree. What is it that the sales guys are not getting? Because obviously from what you just said, the procurement professional, the buyer, has moved to the strategic level and the sales guys are still targeting the negotiator.
You know, when we spoke about the evolution journey of a procurement professional or the supply chain, I would say even the sales has evolved. I would not say that they are missing a lot. But one thing which I have consistently found over the past 15, 20 years that the salespeople are missing on is understanding the customer's position. And why I would say, because the customer's position is not that I have to go and spend some money or I have to buy something and then you are there to sell that particular product or service. The customer's position is the need, right? That in today's times, when the customer is selling in the marketplace, right? What is his situation and what is his status? Understanding that for a sales guy is very important. And I would say, please understand, in the whole macro level of the supply chain, your customer is also a supplier to someone. So it's a suppliers to supplier world, right? So at the end of the day, my products, your customer's products, your customer services are being supplied into some other organization. Now, you can say that there could be some end of the value chain. Like if you're trying to sell it to a FMCG, you say that now he's going to only sell it to the end consumers. But please understand, he's still a supplier to the end consumer.
Yes.
Right? So what is his supplier status? understanding that is very important. And then when you approach and empathize with the customer, that is when you will have an eyeball or you will have a faith and trust of your customer. For example, today you read in the newspaper that, you know, XYZ company is facing ABCD issues and their stock prices have fallen down by 10%. And it has fallen down by 10% by maybe for some reason. It could be a financial reason, it could be an operational reason, or it could be their products did not meet the expectations of the marketplace. At that point in time, if you are an indirect material supplier and you reach to him and tell him that, from the next financial year, my prices are going to be increased. You know, when you walk in, you don't collect these facts and then you walk in. You simply just walk in, you know, like your everyday affair with your customer and try to go and pass on your agenda. It doesn't work. And at the same time, you know, in the direct materials, it's all the more a problem.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe his products did not meet the customers, his customers' expectation, customers' expectation, maybe because of your material which has gone into it.
It's possible.
Right? So you need to be very much cautious and aware of the customer's position and try to help the customer, right? And empathize with the customer's situation. Now, I spoke to you about a downside situation. Let's talk about an upside situation, right? If the customer is growing and the customer has opened up large new markets, and then you walk in with your own small little idea that, can I have a 10% increase in my volume of supply, or in the whole category analysis, you know, I must have divided that particular spend into three different suppliers, and you go and say that, can I increase my share of pie? Then you are at a loss, right? Because if you are empathizing with the customer and tell that, hey, you are growing at such a fast pace, can we go ahead and strike a strategic connect? Can we do something beyond these daily negotiations? Can we go ahead and strike a better contract? Can we get more strategic about it? Then the customer is very happy because here is a person who's coming and trying to help me, right? So those are the different things that can come into play if the seller is really empathizing with the customer. Now, I spoke to you about the macroeconomic or the macro part of the story. There could be even micro part of the story. You know, before you reach the supply chain's office, maybe, you know, it's worth time taking that who are your users of these supplies that you make, and collect some feedback about the users within the organization that how are they feeling about what you have supplied. And be more empathetic about understanding how good or how bad you have been performing and how you can change things, and then approach a supply chain officer and try to make a strategic deal at his table. So this is something which is really, really, really missing. Even today, I would say this is missing.
Why do you think that is? Because is it because of the lack of access the, you know, vendors have inside the organizations, or is it because of apathy?
No, I would say it's a mindset, right? I would not agree that the supplier does not have access to the organization or to the customer. I would absolutely not agree to this because... you have your customer's information, which is readily available at the marketplace. And if it is a listed customer, then you have all the more information. If it is not a listed customer, when you are going and meeting your customer, make it a point to meet your users within the customer's organization. And you have been talking to them, unless you are a first-time customer, right?
Right.
Even if you're a first-time customer and if you're able to gather information and reach to the supply chain officers table with your information and empathize with that information, I would say then the supply chain officer will be floored. he would, I mean, that first appointment would convert into a business, right? And if you are a supplier, if you are not a first time supplier, then you ought to know. I mean, there is no point in you claiming I don't have the information, right?
True. So tell me, I mean, what you are talking of is that the seller has to demonstrate the strategic value they're bringing to the table, right?
Yes.
It's time for a short break. Vijayanand was implementing a complex network in a new international airport, and one of the vendors was falling woefully short. That's when he discovered how innovation can come from vendors and completely change the delivery process for your customers. After the break, Vijayanand narrates the story. Stay with us.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host and founder of PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. Right before the break, Vijayanand started narrating how vendors can come up with ideas that not only solves a burning problem, but unleashes spectacular innovation. Let's find out.
Can you recollect any buying experience that you have had, which was of this nature, where a salesperson came and actually, and you saw, oh my God, this guy actually brings so much value that it will be worth pursuing a relationship with this guy?
All right. So I have come across this situation many a times, I would say, and in many different organizations. And let me give you some examples or some stories around these. Okay, and I'll give you some simplistic ones and some complex ones.
Sure.
Okay. We were responsible for building the IT infrastructure, both passive and active, for an airport. And that airport was the Delhi International Airport. And that airport was supposed to be the marquee airport or the most modernized airport when it was being built. And it was being built during the times of Commonwealth Games. So India had a position to express to the world that we have something best in the world. Obviously, the designs and the approach was that the technology that would be deployed should be at least 10 years ahead in time, because an airport cannot change its infrastructure every day. Right?
Yes.
So when I was trying to do that, you know, we had to go ahead and deploy a lot of cable trays and the infrastructure there, right? And we were always failing because there were many contractors working on the site and we could not get them, right? Hmm. So one fine day, I got very frustrated that, you know, I'm not able to live up to the challenges that the delivery team is posing, and we were needing like 500, 600 kilometers of cable trays, which is made of steel, right? And the steel had a specification which was not so easy to be available in the marketplace. Hmm. And when I approached many of these sales suppliers, I found it very difficult that how do I fulfill this? Then one of the suppliers walked in and he told, why are you so frustrated? I told, see, I need so many kilometers. Even you're supplying only 5 or 10 kilometers, but I have a requirement of 400, 500 kilometers. And when he explained his challenges, I gave it a hearing and I told, how can we resolve? How can we collaborate? And that's when he came up with a lot of ideas and solutions that how we could collaborate. And it went on to a point that, you know, he needed our support to write to the steel industries and tell them that when they are rolling the steel, it's better that they go ahead and give one particular role to these suppliers in the marketplace. And then these suppliers will then go and buy in the marketplace and give it. So now the whole supply chain, I then found out that there are near about at least 5 or 6 organizations involved in the whole supply chain to get that particular material. So then we collaborated with all of them, and all of them were very happy, starting from a steel plant to the CNC person who's bending it, and then to this guy who is doing all the kind of powder coats and then supplying it to us. And, you know, boom, we had the problem of near about 20, 25 days in order to align all these guys. But from the 30th or 35th day, everything started falling on the ground. So all the material was at the backyard then, right? So that gave us an insight that here is how a supplier helped himself by being empathetic to us. If I take on to a very complex deal, you know, where I was trying to we were having an estate of like near about $70 to $80 million of a particular software company, and multiple different products, multiple different geographies, and every day someone trying to sell something new, right? And this one common guy, he walks in, and of course he was a little senior up in the hierarchy of that company, and he says, you know, this is your estate. You know, we help you in so many countries. There are so many licenses, so many utilizations, so many of them are unutilized. You're not taking full value of ourselves, and you're spending a hell lot of money. I can help you how we can reduce this. I told him, what is your interest? Because your revenue is going to go down, right? He says, yes. But the point is, if I don't inform you, and if I don't help you, and if you realize this tomorrow, then we lose a big face value in this organization, and you may even replace us.
Right.
Right? And then he took us through 3 different big, large workshops, and then made us aware of various things. And then we told, oh, this is what is going on, and can we collaborate? Can we optimize? Can we together help each other? And can we improve? So obviously after that, there were much more complex deals that were signed with this particular organization. And all of that happened in a period of 6 months, which otherwise could have taken at least 4 to 5 years.
Right.
And that is how strategically those sellers have improved themselves in the strategic value add of the organization. And moved ahead. If they understand where the customer is, what is the customer status, and go ahead and design a plan that addresses both the parts, their own organization as well as the customer, that would be a key winning point. And to this win-win strategy, sometimes when the seller's organization is larger than the customer, the seller's organization would come and cite a product policy or a policy document saying, this is only how my product is going to work, right? At that point in time, if they really understand the customer and try to make those small little tweaks, and maybe those tweaks not only will help that customer, but many other such customers at the marketplace, that is when the whole selling organizations can make a big deal with these customers.
So why do you think are they inflexible? Where is this inflexibility come from? Because end of the day, if there is no sale, there is no business, right? So what is this mindset?
See, the mindset is that, you know, when the customer organizations design products, they would have certain ways of monetizing it, right? And those ways of monetizing could be harsh on certain customer, and it could be easy for some customer, right? Those monetizing areas or those usability areas, it could be not only a monetizing problem, but it also could be a usability problem. If they can really address that for the customer and win that customer, trust me, you know, the customer might refer you to many other such customers.
Correct. Correct.
Right? So there could be, you know, the moment you say that I'm little flexible or I will design something different for you, is when you're opening not only one customer, maybe you're opening a market.
That's a very important point, because there was one study which showed that in B2B, referrals is one of the biggest source of business.
Right. So, so more than referrals, I would say it opens up a new segment or a new market for yourself. Because it could be referrals. Obviously, customers are very happy to refer a particular organization. But at the end of it, if you try to map a similar scenario with various other customers or various other segments or industries in the marketplace, then you can see that there is an untapped market. That is where, and because, you know, please understand, the customer who came and expressed his concerns, there would be many other customers who are not even expressing those concerns.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, they're not engaging with you.
It's right? A very interesting point, you know, because when I'm talking to, you know, procurement heads and CIOs, I've been talking to them. One of the things that comes across is that a lot of these buying discussions are having in private chats between different CIOs and different procurement heads, where the vendor will never have an entry.
Absolutely. So let me tell you that with the advent of a good amount of collaboration tools, social media and all of it, trust me, you know, again, this is another point of evolution, which I would like to mention that, you know, earlier all the purchasing persons were accountant. And the accountant would have had a different career motive of growing into some other accounting area or department or whatever. But when it comes to supply chain nowadays, he wants to grow and be a chief supply chain officer and get a seat at the table, become more strategic, and even try to be a CEO one day, right? In such a scenario, obviously there is a community. Like there could be a community of CFOs, the community of practitioners, community of salespeople who have different sales meets, right? Similarly, the community of procurement has also evolved.
Right.
You know, today when I speak to you, you know, we run ISM Bangalore chapter, we run a blockchain supply chain practice chapter, we run a procurement practice chapter, and you know, and this is not only regional, it has gone to the level of collaborating across the geographies, across nations. Today, if you see, I'm in groups of buyers or sourcing platforms of Bangladesh, of Southeast Asia, and I'm part of the group of Electronic Component Associate Buyers Association, right? So obviously, and you know, the best part is that no one is compromising on the ethics of it. You know, there was a time when, there should be a data regulation that, you know, I would not share my price, it's confidential, this, that. Now, people don't even talk about it.
Yeah.
They know how to be respectably participate in or responsibly participate in these forums. And, you know, today if I need a particular equipment, then I go ahead and post it, hey, I'm looking for this equipment, there would be some 20 supplier advisories coming in, right? And obviously in these forums, the vendors cannot be a part of it because of being responsible. And similarly, you know, there could be large group of, your customer could be a large group of companies. And trust me, the procurement and the supply chain officers of all those group companies might be on one particular platform.
Yeah.
Right? So your flexibility can address or can open, I don't know how many markets, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is great. So I think one definite discussion we have to have is about these procurement groups and social media, impact of social media and these new technologies that is actually helping category experts become better at what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Right?
And I call them as they become category killers.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
When I'm looking to hire, and I tell my HR brings a lot of profiles. I say, I don't want these. I say that, you know, I need a category expert in staffing. I need a category expert in IT or hardware or software. And, then they now know now that, when they interview or they do their first rounds of interview, they ask a lot of questions about the category. They don't ask what is the process of procurement or how to give a purchase order. They don't ask those questions.
True. So do you see a possibility of a common platform where vendors and procurement experts can both sort of start creating a social dialogue?
Yeah, I absolutely see, and I always wanted to have such platforms. Okay, and at this point, I will try to introduce two other things. One is that, trust me, all the operations activities of procurement are going to be automated. The robots, the automatic AI, NL, ML and NLP, I'm designing many of them for the procurement operations, and all that will get automated. The only competency or skill that will live within the procurement is the category expertise and then the strategy. Right. So when this is there, if the seller's organization can organize certain ways and collaborative events of going ahead and telling that how their offerings are impacting a particular segment, then I think there is a point where we can really meet there and understand. And at the same time, many product companies do that. They organize a symposia where they call all the customers of a particular segment and ask them to present on certain problem statements or certain evolutions or certain developments. And then at that point, they can collect a lot of information that would be really helpful for them. But at the end of the day, they should tend to refrain from doing an event where they're just passing on the business cards.
Yeah.
So, and trust me, such events, while they're attended by some people from the customer's organization, I would say decision makers would be only 5%.
True.
95% of the decision makers don't love to be involved there.
And what would attract them to come to such forums, the decision makers?
Yeah, so when I say decision makers, then when you go and have a different kind of a forum where you say, for example, maybe an automotive component manufacturing company, to give a very hypothetical example.
Sure.
Right? If they conduct a forum where there could be a situation where they say that, what's happening in the electrical vehicle scenario? And they call up the decision makers of the customer and say that there would be some experts who would come and speak about these platforms. And then you understand. And then you can see that where your components really fit in.
Right. So obviously, for the decision makers, it has to be a strategic value add. For the practitioners, it has to be a tactical value add. So Absolutely. Depending upon who your audience is, if you bring that information and that knowledge, you will see participation. That's what you're saying.
The Buyer Side Chat is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink enables high-quality interactions between buyers and sellers through presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create personalized sales presentations and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversation. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 650-847-5884. That is 650-847-5884.
Great. So I think that's great, Vijayanand. I'm so glad that we managed to have this chat, and I really enjoyed it. And thanks for bringing in so much depth to this discussion, because I think that's really what is missing from the discourse. Okay, great. Thank you so much. I really, really loved this chat, and see you again.
See you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring Ganesh Shenbagaraman, partner Winning by Design, and Nico Buck, founder of Digital Procurement Now and ex-Digital Procurement Senior Director of Procter & Gamble, with conversations unraveling in depth how the real buyers buy. Stay tuned. The Buyerside Chat is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform, and is a BizCast original production.
Thank you for being with us today on the Buyerside Chat. This is the podcast of record for the Buyerside journey. And those who know, that's the journey that matters. We hope this conversation helped you with insights that you can go and apply right now to your own value transaction process. See you in the next episode of the Buyerside Chat.